Welcome to Air Power with Kakra Baden, teaching the nations with signs and wonders. Why live in darkness when the light of God's word has solutions? Kakra is a teacher of the word who also ministers with miracles and the prophetic anointing. He's the senior pastor of the Catch the Anointed Center, Accra, Ghana. Now, today's message.
Welcome to today's broadcast. Kakra continues his enlightening series titled Understanding the Parables of Jesus, sharing on principles of money that can be learned from the parables of the prodigal son and the unjust steward. Yesterday, he shared that money takes on the character of its owner. Today, he continues. Let's join in.
Number 5. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit to your trust the true? Jesus said, the money that you see as evil, or people see as evil. And but like I told you, money is not actually evil. It depends on whether it's unclean, it's clean, or it's holy. Then he said, who shall commit to your trust the true? So Jesus spoke about true riches. So here, point number 5 is that the way we use money will determine whether God will give us true riches. Are you understanding me? Which means true riches and money, by their definition, they have different definitions. But true riches, now it comes from God. Money you can earn, but true riches, it comes from God. And for God to give you true riches, Jesus said, he must trust you. If you have been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit to your trust the true riches? And said, true riches, it is given in trust. God has to trust you. We have to get to the point where God trusts us. And for God to trust us with his riches, we must demonstrate with the little that we have that you can trust me. Do you understand me? If you don't demonstrate with your 100 series or your 50 series or your 20 series or your 10 series, God will not give to your trust true riches. That is God, not human beings. And as for true riches, it comes from God. So with the little that we have, we must make sure that we use it to the glory of God. When I say the glory of God, two things come to my mind. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. All simple things. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. When we say in the name of Jesus, it means when I say, go and open the door. And if anyone tells you that don't open the door, tell them that I said the door should be open. So in the name of something, it means the person has given you the permission or the authority. Are you understanding me? So when you see the glory of God, one of them is that. It means that what you are doing, it is God who has given you the permission. If what you are doing cannot be found in the Bible, it's not the Holy Ghost who said it. Cannot be found in the Bible. It's not a divine direction. Then you didn't seek permission from God. You are just doing it by yourself. If I use my money to undermine people or fight my enemies, I use my money to fight my enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. But maybe I said, look, there are some family members. They don't respect me. I will use this money to bring them down. They will see where power lies. You see, God will not give you such a permission. Never. So you are using the money, but it's not God who has allowed you or given you the permission. If you give an offering, you pay your tithe, it's in the name of Jesus. God has given you that commandment, that permission, that this is what you should do. But if I use that same money to go and buy drugs, God hasn't given me that permission. So Jesus said, whatever you are using your money for, just make sure. That's what you say. That is the glory of God. It is God that has given you that permission. Instead of paying your children's school fees, you won't pay. Rather, you are sponsoring the education of your girlfriend's son. Who gave you this permission? Ask your neighbor, who gave you this permission? Or you are using your money to rent a house for some girl. Meanwhile, you are married. Or you are using your money to cook fufu, banku, and tilapia for a married man. Ask your neighbor, who gave you that permission? Where do you get this permission from? He said, he will commit to your trust, the true riches. Do you know what true riches, what I think it means? You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 5, it says, men of corrupt minds concerning the faith, destitute of the truth, supposing that godliness is gain, from such withdraw yourself. So there are some people who think that money is the most important thing. If I'm to just rephrase it, he said, don't follow those people that they think that money is the most important thing. He said, no. He said, their mind is corrupt. Don't follow them. And they feel that if you have money, it means that God is with you, godliness. Money is the sign that God is with you. He said, no. He said, don't follow it. Then verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we carry nothing out. Then verse 8 says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, there are three things that he mentions. Godliness, which is holiness, plus contentment. Contentment is a gift from God. Plus food and raiment, which is material things, equals great gain. So in spiritual mathematics, great gain or true riches, or you have actually received a lot of money, is godliness or holiness plus contentment plus material things is equals to great gain. Great. A lot of rich people are very greedy. They want more. They will kill. They will cheat. Sometimes I talk to some people who are businessmen. They want more. And I'm thinking that, hey, this guy is not tired. But I realize that God has not given that person the gift of contentment. You become like a slave building Pharaoh's treasure cities. You work and work and work and work. And you even have time to enjoy it. You are actually a laborer, but a higher level laborer. Before you realize you are dead. Your children will even grow, you don't know them. No time for your wife, no time for your children, no time for nothing. Just moving and working. I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I am in. I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul said, when there is money, oh, I'm content. When there's no money too, I'm content. Within myself. Hallelujah. There is one alone. He has neither child nor brother. Neither is there no end of his labor. Neither is his eyes satisfied with riches. Neither said he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is vanity. It is a sore travail. Exodus chapter 4, verse 9. Do you know what travail means? A job. It's an evil job. It's a difficult job. Sore travail. He has no brother. He has no child. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. He. Nothing. Neither said he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? Solomon said, listen, it is an evil job that God has given to you, but you don't know. Hallelujah. True riches. You see, but the two, the food and raiment, you can buy it. Oh, that one is money. Those are material things. You need money to buy them. But the first two, godliness and contentment. Now, that one only comes from God. And holiness is important. Why? Because anything in this world, if you extract holiness in it from it, you destroy it. Marriage, if you extract holiness from it, you won't enjoy the marriage again, although you have a lot of money. You have children. If you extract holiness from it, you can enjoy them. Because whilst you are looking for them, they are in the forest, smoking marijuana, they are in the forest. Even if you call them, they won't come. Take them to school, they won't learn. When you see them, you even be angry. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us. Today we learned that the way you treat money determines if God can trust you with true riches. The two keys that unlock true riches are godliness and contentment. Join us again tomorrow as this exciting message continues.
So you want to pray this prayer after me? You want to really give your life to Jesus? Be serious. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. Come and live in my heart. I believe that you died for me. Wash me with your blood. Be the Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. Amen.
Before we leave, here is a praise report to boost your faith in the Lord.
This one says, I ask you to pray for me concerning a job. I went for successive interviews, but I had no job, and I was denied one this month. I was of the view that it was the devil. But you told me you had prayed for me and God will offer me a job. When I came to church on Sunday, after your prayer, I got a call from a strange foreign number. I was told by the person he was going to arrive in Accra the next day, so I should come for an interview. Prophet, when I got there, the interviewer simply said to me that based on the recommendation of his business partner, he was going to offer me the job without an interview. And that was it. Put your hands together for Jesus. Wow. That's favor. Favor. I was so shocked that when I was asked about my income expectation, I feared to speak for a while. Wow. Then I was told that I was the project manager for all the projects in Ghana. Me, the country project manager. I couldn't believe it. Come put your hands together for Jesus. He said, I got frozen because the project is a very, 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 very big project, and I'm getting this job after university with no experience, and the job puts fear in me. I feel the position is too big for me. I never thought that God could so bless somebody in such a big way that fear will fall on the person until now. May God bless you until you are fearful. I said, today may you live here with a fearful blessing. It reminds me of Simon Peter in Luke 5:8. Jesus blessed him so much, the Bible says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his feet, saying, depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. May you be blessed that you say, Lord, this one is too much. You never know you are really blessed until you are blessed to the point where you can't tell anybody. Wow.
The traditional Christian view of demons is that they are disembodied spirits that afflict or possess people. The activity of demons, however, transcends this. Demons can also inhabit buildings, land, or space. Ignorance in this area has led to the uncontrolled activity of these demons. This book by Kakra Baden titled Squatters will expose you to this truth and give you practical steps you can take to overcome such demons. Get your copy now. You could be living with your enemy. Purchase online at Amazon.com. It is also on sale in selected bookshops. Order this book plus other books through the following means. Call or message us on WhatsApp +233-557-009-010. You can also send an email to info@kakrabaden.org. You can also make a regular call or send a text to +233-20-7575-215. Our office hours are 10 to 16 hours GMT. Grow in your Christian life with audio sermons from Kakra Baden on your mobile devices on the go. Here's how. Go to Play Store or Windows Store on your Android or Windows mobile devices and search for Kakra Baden AirPower. Download, install, and instantly access life-changing audio sermons by Kakra Baden. It's that simple. Kakra Baden AirPower app. On the go with a word.
Thanks for your time. You can contact us, seek counseling, ask for prayer, order today's full-length message or order books through the following means. Call us on WhatsApp or send a WhatsApp message to +233-55-790-10. Send an email to info@kakrabaden.org. You can also make a regular call or send a text to +233-20-7575-215. Our office hours are 10 a.m. to 1600 hours GMT. Finally, write to us, share your testimony and how this broadcast has been a blessing to you.